Welcome back, friends. You are tuned in to the Bones Brigade audio show. I'm Larry, and with me as always is Matt. Matt, how are you?
Man, how am I?
Yeah.
I mean, we're did you see the title of this podcast?
Yeah, let's see. Here we are, episode 39, and today we will be speaking with the SB boys, Frankie Hill, Brandon Chapman, and Jake Bradley. We're celebrating 35 years of Public Domain this year, and you know, those guys have a major breakthrough part in that video. So we thought, hey, let's have the SB boys on and dig into Public Domain a little bit.
Let's reunite the squad.
Yeah, let's get it all together.
What better place to get them all together than here, right?
Yeah, exactly. But before we get to them, I wanted to give a happy birthday shout out to Ed, who Ed makes all our episode graphics for us and some other stuff. Today's a big milestone birthday for him. Ed, we love you, buddy. Thanks for
doing all the work. Yeah, I don't know Ed. I've never met him. We've communicated online.
Yeah.
But man, this show, he's the third member as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that is true.
The third member of the team. I mean, the show would not be the same without him. And I cannot thank you enough, Ed, if you're listening to this, for the amount of time and effort and work you've put in to doing those graphics for us. It's astounding. And that you would be that generous with your time and your skill. And I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for that. That is just it's so nice to have somebody that is able to do that stuff. Cause if it wasn't that, God only knows what these episode graphics would look like, but they would be
just boring text, you know? Yeah.
So thank you, Ed. Yeah, sincerely.
Thanks, Ed. And he's helping us out with some stuff for SkaterCon too. SkaterCon.
SkaterCon.
We will be at SkaterCon. We're going to have a booth and we'll have some goodies to give away and stuff to sell. And what is SkaterCon, do you think? It's kind of like, well, judging on the name, I think it's kind of based off of Comic-Con, you know, kind of like fandom type level. And there's bands.
Yeah, I've only seen photos of it, but I mean, it's like, yeah, you got bands, it's at the skate park. So obviously there's going to be people
skating,
ripping around. Yeah. But what I'm really most looking forward to, aside from meeting all of you, is seeing some of the stuff that I've, you know, there's companies and stuff like that that come out there, but there's also it seems like just collectors and stuff.
Yeah.
And they come out and they have these insane old school collections that they have out there. I don't know if they're selling or they're just displaying.
Buy, sell, trade, hold like flea market type area. Yeah.
It's like total skate porn.
Yes, so. Definitely. So SkaterCon 9 is happening Saturday, September 30th at the Etne Skate Park in Lake Forest, California. We will be there. We're getting really close to announcing some special guests that you'll be able to meet at our booth. So stay tuned to Instagram. I think we'll be announcing that soon. I think people are going to be psyched on that, right?
Definitely.
Got lined up? Yeah.
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
So thanks to Adam for having us out to SkaterCon 9. Really looking forward to it. Matt and I are taking a little road trip. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be some Thelma and Louise jams.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't end with us going off a cliff, but hey.
No, it's going to end up with us at Disneyland.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So what else we got?
Well, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about that you kind of brought to my attention after our last episode on Skate TV was we had talked in that episode, we'd singled out the Steve Caballero part from Skate TV. And I can't believe I had never really noticed this. You went back and you watched it and you found out something pretty interesting,
Which
was sort of like as plain as the nose on your face, but you just never really put the two together and neither did you.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of watching things with different eyes now, since we're kind of like, our show is about kind of dissecting these videos and trying to see extra footage and stuff. So there's this Steve Caballero interview part. Skate Master Tate is interviewing Caballero. And the footage that they're showing is from Steve's part in Band This, the classic Perfect Line segment where he's at the Kennedy Warehouse skating that mini ramp. And then I think that part starts out with two tricks on the vert ramp. I think he does the foot plant on the ceiling, foot right?
Plant and on
then
the beam.
Yeah. And then he just airs from the vert ramp into the mini ramp. And then that's all you really see. So now going back and watching that segment, they show all kinds of, it's all recycled footage kind of from Band This, but you're seeing more of him on that vert ramp. So in a way, it's like we're seeing all this, you know, unseen clips from
bonus footage
of Band This. Super cool.
It's awesome. It's my one of my favorite parts ever. And so I can't believe I haven't watched that part too many times. The skate TV part, you know, I've kind of seen it here and there, and I just never noticed that
either. It was memorable to me because the way the interview is cut together, so that made it memorable for me. So I was like, after we recorded that episode, I was like, let me go back and watch that. So I went on YouTube and I was like, whoa, this is all unseen, not all of it, but a lot of this is like unseen. Band This footage of him in that Kennedy warehouse. The suspenders, the red shirt, the red board. Super
white
good.
Suspenders.
Yeah. So if you want, you know, outtakes from Band This, go head over to YouTube. Super cool.
So speaking of the Skate TV episode, it was interesting sort of bit of, I don't know, timing.
Yeah.
Universal timing.
Yeah.
But we had our last guest was Mark Hunt, who came on, and he was telling us before we started rolling, and then I think in the show itself, he had mentioned that one of his first jobs, his actual first job in the industry, was working as a production assistant or something like that.
So yeah,
for Pee Wee's Playhouse, and he mentioned that, you know, when we did the interview, and then
two or three days after,
few days later after we wrapped, I can't remember exactly how it lined up, but then we got the unfortunate news that Paul Rubens had passed away, oddly enough.
Yeah, so, that was really weird.
Yeah.
And that was like, you know, man, I didn't realize sometimes it takes something like that to make you realize how much you enjoyed an actor or in his work kind of thing. So I was just like, oh, man, dude, I love Pee Wee Herman. You know, it was a big deal. When we were kids. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Pee Wee's Big Adventure still makes me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Pee-wee's Playhouse Saturday mornings was always classic.
Have you seen the new one, his latest movie, Pee-wee's Big Holiday?
Yeah, I have seen that.
God, it's hilarious, dude.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch that. We watched with the kids a night or two after Paul Rubens passed. We had to break out Big Adventure and we watched that.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. And I think when Pee-wee's Playhouse came out, I think I was like already out of that age range or whatever, but I still watched it and enjoyed
it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I watched the hell out of that.
Yeah. That was
religiously.
A good one.
So yeah. Bummer. Rest in peace, Paul Rubens.
News. Yeah. And there's a couple. So Big Adventure. There's a couple skateboard appearances in there. Can you think of them? So when his bike gets stolen on the promenade, the Santa Monica promenade, and when he's kind of, I can't remember
like if he's sitting on the bench or whatever.
Yeah, he's sitting on the bench and there's like a skater goes by. And then later in the movie, when he's going through the movie studios and the sets, there's like that beach movie scene. And there's like people being pulled. It's supposed to look like they're water skiing.
Yeah.
But since they're on the ground, it's basically like longboard skateboards. Like they have skateboard trucks on them. So that's kind of like a skateboard cameo there at the end.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Had to tie it back somehow.
Yeah, tie it back to skateboarding.
But how weird that we were talking to a guy who's
worked on
Pee Wee's
the show.
Playhouse, you know, and then.
All right. Anything else before we bring the guys on?
I don't know. Our friend Clyde Singleton is going to be on a couple podcasts.
Oh, yeah. I saw that
coming up. You think he's booked now for Hawk versus Wolf and the Nine Club?
Yeah, those would be fun ones to listen to.
For sure, dude.
I think they will have two different tones too. It's not going to be the same show.
Yeah.
You know, same kind of interview style.
Well, congrats, Clyde, on that. It's big stuff right there, man.
Indeed.
That's all I got.
So, Matt, real quick. So, public domain, that SB Boys segment. How's that rate for you? Or getting to
it's like so high up there. I mean, all of public domain for me is really high up there, but that's it's one that I used to watch a lot. And it got a little dwarfed, you know, by the Rubber Boys, which is, you know, clearly like the segment that people kind of know more from that video when you're talking about like the group street dudes. It was later in the video too, you know, I think that was probably part of it, but man, that part is so gnarly. It's like some of the biggest stuff you'd ever seen. It was the biggest stuff you'd ever seen really to that point. I mean, honestly, like some of that stuff they do in that part is like way, way, way advanced for the time.
Definitely.
I mean, besides just the big stairs and stuff, like tech stuff that hadn't, you know, was kind of new ground. And my God, man, like incredible that we're getting ready to talk. What about you?
I love it. I even remember on, so when we reviewed Public Domain video, me and Christian Svitak at the end, we kind of like talked about top three segment. You know, I think I tossed that question out at the end and I included the SB Boy segment in you guys, and I didn't choose Rubber Boys. You guys were like, what? Yeah. And I was just like, dude, I mean, I love them both, but I think I like the SB Boys more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Wild opinion.
I love that part. That part has such
music.
Great...
It's all just really driving music.
Dude, I was just going to say, I remember getting that song, you know, in my head when I was skating back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like you kind of have like this internal soundtrack that would be playing. And a lot of times it was Powell songs, you know, kind of depending on like what you were doing.
Yeah.
So like if I was skating like a mini ramp, it would be like the part from How to Draw a Perfect Line, or it'd be Justice to the Bass or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but if I was out like street skating, quote unquote, which is like basically like board sliding railroad ties or whatever we were doing at the time. Yeah. But it would be the, you know, McRad Weakness, or it would be that song from SB Boys.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's great, dude. That whole part rules.
Yeah.
So.
It's super good. Super
what a,
good.
What an incredible privilege, man, to get these guys back together after so long. And how long? So what are we doing here? What's like 35 years,
35
right?
Years of Public Domain. Yeah. It's crazy,
man.
This year,
dude, that's wild.
Yeah. So it looks like everyone's ready to get on the call here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the SB Boys, Brandon Chapman, Jake Bradley, and Frankie Hill. All right. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us today. This is, we're honored to have you guys here.
Thank you.
So the year 2023 is the 35th anniversary of the video Public Domain. So we're here today to dig into that pretty deep. But I thought before we talked about Public Domain, we should probably go back a little further. So I thought we'd start with the generic. How did you guys all discover skateboarding, or how did you get into skateboarding? Frankie, you want to go first?
Sure. I was into BMX riding, and I saw a local kid ollie off a little street transition in my neighborhood and thought, wow, man, this guy is going higher than me on my bike. So, you know, I wasn't at that point. I stopped being into team sports so much. And, you know, I just liked the one man band kind of type of situation and started skating at that point. But I quickly learned that I wasn't going to get too far just by myself. So I started looking around for guys that I could, you know, skate with and who could teach me how to, you know, get better and have fun, obviously.
Super awesome. Jake, how about you? How did you get into skateboarding?
From the get-go, I was into team sports. I used to go over to the East Side Boys Club, and I was fucking playing every single sport they had. I wasn't necessarily 100% good, but I was into everything and like dedicated to doing, you know, whatever sport it was at the time that I was playing. I even blossomed into 7th and 8th grade. I played YFL for a couple years, tackle football. And then when I went into high school, that's when I started changing a little bit. I met some new friends. I had different people that did different things. And I actually got into windsurfing for like a moment, and I was into that, but I had to go with my parents with that so they could lug all the shit down there, you know, so we could go windsurfing stuff. But at that same time, I started hanging out with different people that were into, we lived right down 3 blocks from the beach. So I'm not going to say online what kind of state of mind we were in at the time, but you know, street skating around the beach area, which where we lived. And that's just when I got into street skating, mainly to begin with. And, you know, that was times with, you know, I mean, our stuff was like at that time, we were in the time zone of Mark Gonzalez, Tommy Guerrero, Natas Kappas, you know, Jesse Martinez, those guys were like, at the time, those guys were crazy. And we liked their crazy mentality style and going for like stuff that they weren't doing back in the day of like slides and, you know, stylish shit like that. Now it was more like, you know, a little more ballsy and doing a little more death defying tricks at the time, you know, that we were at that time so crazy, and it's fun being young, and you know, you really have like not as much fear as you do now in your, you know, later days.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon, how about you? How did you discover skateboarding?
I always had a skateboard when I was young, and a BMX bike. I did both for a long time. And then it wasn't until I was about 14, I got a board, a full setup, Mike McGill, you know, nose guard, tail guard, rails, all that. And there was a skate park, Golf and Fun in Santa Barbara. And so I used to go and skate Golf and Fun. That's where I really learned how to skate bowls and all that stuff. And then there was one day I was I grew up in Isla Vista. And one day I was skating down the street and I saw this guy ollie into a curb, you know, into the transition. And I was like, what the hell was that? I had never seen that before. And it was Ron Allen.
Oh, wow.
And he just happened to be friends with all of my older friends growing up in Ivy. I always had, you know, older college friends that I would hang out with at their house and stuff. And so then I had met him, and then he had taught me how to ollie. So that's who I learned how to ollie from. And so from there on, that's just where it began.
Now, I don't know the kind of the geography around Santa Barbara, but did you guys know each other before skateboarding, like from school or anything like that? Or were you guys a little bit spaced out?
We were all kind of in a different spot. I was Beach, Santa Barbara. Frank was Goleta, and Brandon was Isla Vista.
Okay.
We all corresponded together and branched together because we were all the best in each of those towns. We were the best ones. And when we obviously the best collaborate and combine together. And that's how we all
became, y'all linked up.
We were the shiznit of our zones. And
yeah, man.
We could learn off each other. And we were interested in each other because of, wow, you're doing the same shit that I'm doing. And you're doing even more, you know, so it all.
Yeah, there was a lot of skate jams that we would go to at schools that some of my UCSB friends that would put on. Henry Satia, is that his last name? Yeah, he also would, you know, participate in that. He skated for Santa Monica Airlines. But yeah, we would go to skate jams, and you know, that's where we would see each other skating. What's the latest and greatest off the jump ramp or whatever, you know?
I can remember one skate jam. I think it was at Washington, the one that we're in Palo. Well, I can remember Washington, boards stacked up and me and you just flying over. I don't know. I can't remember how it was. 8, 9, 10, 11 boards stacked together.
Oh, yeah. The long distance. Yeah.
Yeah. That was what me and you started kind of like bonding together because we were the ones that were willing to go for that. And we're actually kind of we're also making it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you guys all get on Powell Peralta, and who got on first?
I got on Powell first.
How did that happen?
Speaking of the boards that Jake was just talking about, there was a demo. There was a Skater's Paradise was our skate shop. It was downtown. Then they had a Goleta shop as well. And they were doing a demo with Stevie Caballero and Tommy Guerrero.
I remember that.
Jump ramp in the back of the parking lot and in the back of the shop. And I had showed up. And we weren't allowed to skate, you know, other than just them watching them. And they started to lay the boards out and ollie over them. And I think they got to about 8 or something on the boards. And then I just decided I was going to do it. And I just did it, ollied all the boards, right? And then I put my hand up, like, put another down. And then so Tommy and Stevie stopped at that point, and I just kept going, put another. And I think I did about 15 boards.
Wow.
Wow.
And so Stevie and Tommy came up to me and then just like, who are you? What's your name? What's going on? And then that's how I got on Pal. So I was the first to get on Pal. And that's how it happened.
That's great. Who was next?
Wow.
I think it was Frankie, possibly. I'm not sure.
I believe Jake got on before me.
Maybe it was Jake. Yeah.
Yeah, I did actually a little private demo in front of Stacy, in front of Pal when it was on the east side.
Oh gosh, that's crazy.
I don't remember what status I was at that point in my max skateboarding ability, but I was young and was not even, I wasn't even at the spot where I ended up going in about, you know, capabilities and, you know, just being able to do certain stuff that maybe nobody else was doing at the time. I don't know. It's all, what was it? We just passed a 35-year-old mark.
Yeah.
Okay, but there are certain things that, yeah, I won't forget and that I do remember about, you know, skateboarding in general at that time.
It's a private demo for Stacy Peralta. That's got to be pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah, well, I can remember, actually.
Yeah. Frank, how did you get on, Paul?
Well, I've been wanting to get on for a while, and there was a contest in Las Vegas, and I was, like, literally begging Brandon to try to get me into that tour van to take me up there. And, you know, he got me in the van. So I went up there and I think I got like fifth or sixth or somewhere around there place in the contest. And when I came back, it was, you know, a couple of days. And when I came back from Vegas contest, they went to the PAL facility and started skating a jump ramp. And I just stayed there and, you know, kept skating the jump ramp. And then I just kind of started begging team riders to ask the team manager if I could get on the team. And then he said, the team manager came to me and said, you know, maybe, you know, if you quit your current sponsor and you wait 6 months, you know, maybe we'll start flowing you stuff if you're lucky, pretty much. And so that's what I did. I quit skating for Dogtown and just, you know, hung in there and hoped for about 6 months. And then eventually, you know, I started getting some product flowed to me.
Yeah, and I was a big part of that because I would talk to Todd Hastings, was our team manager at the time. And so I was always talking to Todd, like, we have to have Frankie. Frankie's going to be great, you know. So that's how he got on for sure.
So you guys had become all friends through the local scene before you got on Powell, or was it from being on Powell that you guys all linked up?
Yeah, pretty much friends beforehand. And then, yeah, through the skate jams. And then I used to, you know, always go spend the night at Jake's house downtown and we'd go skate around town a lot. Yeah.
So Frankie, you were on Dogtown, and were either of you like with anybody before Powell, or was that your first?
No, that was my first.
I mean, I got on, I did a skate jam and I think with Caleb Moore, and he was running for Brand X at that time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He got me on Brand X before a Powell. But I don't think I was there with them too long before I got on Powell after that.
Gotcha.
So before Public Domain, what I was curious to know, what was your relationship or history with the previous Bones Brigade videos? So we've got Video Show, Future Primitive, Animal Chin. Did you guys love them? Did you watch them a lot? Did they get you psyched before a skate session? Did you have a favorite one maybe?
Tommy Guerrero was by far my favorite skater at the time. I was like trying to, you know, feed off of his style and tricks and stuff that he was doing. That was my favorite PAL member at the time, you know, because I was into street skating myself, and that was the best street skater right there was Tommy Guerrero. So in the future, yeah, I watched a couple of PAL videos beforehand and started liking, you know, the members. I mean, Tony Hawk is still awesome to this day.
Yeah,
you know, the people that, you know, I met in that time zone, like Danny Way and stuff, I think he was on PAL for just a minute before he moved on, but I remember meeting him when he just first came on the scene. Yeah, just you know, those were our originators to us. Was, you know, even though we didn't really skate PAL, like I said, more of Mark Gonzalez, Notch Coppice of street skaters, more than Steve Caballero, Mike McGill, and Tommy, because those guys skated, you know, vert, which is a total story of skating. So I myself actually got into mini ramps, being that was more fun to me than actually street skating. Of doing stuff on mini ramps is good condition. Mini ramps was the thing that I found the most fun at the time.
Brandon, favorite Powell video?
Oh gosh, you know, that's a tough one. I really don't know. I mean, I watched them, but I more or less just looked at the magazines, and I was more into Mark Gonzalez, you know, seeing what he was doing, just because I was, you know, I started to ollie, and that's more or less what I liked. But I did participate. So when I got on Powell, Thebo had got on Powell at the same time, and Jesse Martinez, and they were filming up in San Francisco, and I actually was on site with them as they were filming the videos before they came out. So,
oh, nice.
It's cool. But yeah, I'm not really sure too much which was my favorite. I just enjoyed skateboarding altogether, you know?
Yeah. Frankie, did you have a favorite video?
I think around that same time I watched Future Primitive, and I really, you know, thought that was really cool that the guys all like hung out together and skated as a group. And I sort of got a feel for a little bit of how those PAL videos were going to be kind of put together, you know, the team camaraderie and stuff. But as, you know, as far as the influence thing, you know, I remember I was at this, I think it was like the first Beat Shop contest. And it was the first contest I ever entered. And of course, I was into the street side of the whole thing. And Nautis Kappas comes flying at the back of this car. His wheel goes through the front of a jump ramp. He does a front flip over the back of the car. He clears the whole thing, but his ankle hits part of the back of the car. He walks around the front of the car, and there I'm standing. And he's just like, I made it. I made it. You know what I mean? It was incredible. And he was sitting there bleeding onto my skate deck. And I was just like, I mean, if that didn't sell me, nothing would, you know?
Yeah. All right. How did it come to be that you guys found out Powell was filming for a new video and you guys were going to have a segment and it, you were going to be packaged together? Who told you this? Stacy come to you? Did Todd come to you guys?
I think it was Todd, but that's all I remember. I don't really remember much of it.
I'm kind of forgetting like what was first in what order, because, you know, the only time still that I've only been to the East Coast is when they sent me on tour. Pal sent me on tour over to like Baltimore, and that's the only time I went over and skated like the Brooklyn Banks and stuff like that. I'm not sure if I went on tour. I think the video came out before, and that's why they sent me on tour. But I still was not up to my, you know, best ability of skating at that point too. I was still growing and getting better and learning new things and trying to go higher and stuff like that and tweak more, you know, things like that. But yeah, I can't remember exactly when they like told us about it. They just kind of told us. They didn't really ask like, where do you guys want to go? They kind of let us pick our spots mm-hmm. that we could do something cool on, you know, that we would, you know, I think we chose the spots. I remember filming the video, we all stayed together for a few days and we all wore the same clothes for like 3 days straight.
Yeah.
Get that continuity.
Yeah.
We had to look like
it all happened in one day.
Just a normal afternoon session.
Yeah.
Were those spots that you guys like frequented, were those your normal like spots in that video, or was it just sort of off the cuff?
I know we did a lot of Isla Vista stuff, which was Brandon's zone to begin with. I mean, me and Frankie lived in Goleta, so I'm sure he skated in, you know, out in Isla Vista too. I was from downtown, but you know, I came out there and skated also. But can't remember, like when I got my second segment in Propaganda, I did those all by myself. So I kind of was mainly at like Santa Barbara City College and areas of downtown Santa Barbara. But at that point for the video, we're more out in the NorCal area, Isla Vista and Goleta spots.
So you guys actually filmed with Jim Casimus and not Stacy Peralta? Do you have any?
No, it was Stacy and Stesic.
Really? Okay. Because yeah. I'm just going off by what it said in the credits. So that's interesting because it says that your segment and the Doug Smith in Tijuana was filmed by Jim Casimus. So
yeah, no, I never met that guy. Yeah.
Okay. So what was it like filming? You're just like, wow, we're gonna be in a Powell video. We're shooting on film. This is crazy.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was fun. It was definitely fun. It was hard. By the day three, it was definitely like, I was pretty tired. I wasn't going down any more railings at that point, but yeah, but it was fun. It was definitely a lot of fun.
That's great.
Filming, which what was cool was that we were all three able to do the same thing. Like you see us all the ollies we do over things and stuff. We were all able to do it. There wasn't a thing where you only see two guys go and not one of them. We were all together. We were all up to par. We were all able to do anything that the other guy could do just because of how experienced we were at that point in our lives.
Yeah, yeah, Frankie, awesome. Did I read somewhere that you when you ollied that, like, I think it was like an 11 stair. There was like, you kind of hadn't planned on doing that. Did I read that somewhere? Like that you weren't really doing stuff that big up until that point. You just sort of went for it.
Yeah. What happened was we just went to music hall and Brandon had just ollied off those three stairs and board slid that bar, which was totally ridiculous for that time. And then we went around the corner and we were leaving. And I looked down those stairs and I remember looking over at Brandon and I'm like, man, you know, this would be crazy if, you know, we could go down this for the video. You know what I mean? It just wasn't like, oh, this is like what I do. Or, you know what I mean? It was all for the video. You know what I mean? You're just a little kid. You're just like, whoa, you're starstruck. Stacy's filming. And I think he said something like, go for it or, you know, good luck or something. And I'm like, you know, yeah. The board had no nose. You know what I mean? So good luck for your front foot. You know what I mean? And I shot a couple ollies down it and got lucky to get one, you know, to ride away. And yeah, that was way out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. Little did you know what was waiting for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Frankie.
Yeah.
Thanks, little Frankie.
Yeah. You set yourself up for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
No, I mean, really that in many ways set the, I think, yeah, I would say probably right. Like set the kind of course for where you were going to kind of go in the next couple of videos. Cause like you were just known for the big, you know, hitting that big stuff like nobody else.
That's my favorite pop video trick right there was when Frankie did his propaganda fat ollie at the end.
Of course.
Absolutely.
That was awesome. To me, that just put him on the high pedestal of the ability and the balls to do that. And then make it too, you know, it was, that was one of the most awesome video segments that I've seen. It was right there, Frankie Hill.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Thank you, guys.
I think your segment in Public Domain, it's one of the more kind of super advanced street skating that anyone had seen. Like everyone's ollies are super high. You're doing handrails, which was kind of like brand new, you know, grinds on handrails. It's all pretty new. So where were you guys getting that? Was that from getting from Nadas and Gons, or were you kind of just going for it and making stuff up?
So for me, yeah, it came from Nadas and Gons. It was 1985. Nadas and Gons were the only ones that were doing railings. And then there was me. So I was the very next person that was going down railings. It was just the three of us. And then I think it was Julian Stranger after that, but soon after. So that's pretty much where it began. So Public Domain was what, 88? Mm-hmm. So 3 years later, I had already been doing railings for a long time.
One of my favorite parts and my segment was the three board sled handrails. But it was funny is that so far back in the day, like it was, yeah, at the time to do the three handrails, just board slide them was about where skateboarding was at that time. And then the next one, when the LA boys came out, they did the same thing, but they did like, I don't know, lip slide, fakies, you know, which just branched out and stepped up skateboarding to a different level, you know what I mean? And that skateboarding took, I mean, I don't really want to go into my personal thing about the accident that I was in, but when I was coming out of that, I was trying to get back to the level I was, and I did get back to the level I was about ollieing things and doing stuff like that. But at that time, skateboarding was making another transformation. And it was going more in the freestyle area. It wasn't cool just to ollie over things anymore. You had to do a switch dance. You had to do a, you know, kick flip. You had to do something different over things now. Everything was like advancing into a freestyle area, which was more, you know, technical stuff for me. You know, more of I was into doing big stuff and going over stuff, but, you know, transforming it and doing it in some kind of stance was, you know, just another branch the skateboarding went into.
I'm gonna say one thing real quick. I just want to throw this in there. Brandon Chapman ollie frontside board slide fakie down the courthouse stairs in Public Domain was cutting edge.
Yeah,
you didn't see a lot of people doing that trick at that
time.
Yeah,
that was the first time it was ever on video or captured, I believe. But yeah.
Jake, I wanted to ask about your 50, like caveman 50-50, where you kind of run up and jump on the board into 50-50 down a handrail. How did you come up with that one?
I just did it on the spot. I don't know if I had even done it before. When Brandon did the frontside board slide down it, I was like, well, shit, what am I going to do here? So, I mean, and at that point, I mean, that handrail was particularly high. It wasn't long, but it was high. There was no way I was going to ollie off the ground and make that. So that was like, I never really did like a jump to board slide handrail. I ollie to board slides, but that grind, there was no way I was going to ollie up to that 50 feet. So I just grabbed my board and I just did it on the spot. I didn't know if they were going to use it or whatever. I just did it without thinking.
So it sounds like you guys were getting a little competitive with each other. Like someone's going to do an awesome trick, then someone else had to do another, another one.
Yeah, yeah, that was definitely always the case, especially with Frankie and myself. We were very competitive, definitely.
It was cool that we were able to do the same things like we did at the Sandburg City College, low handrail. We all do our board slides. But what was cool is that we were all able and all had the balls. We're not afraid to jump the roof to roof was probably one of our other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the roof.
Yeah,
never done that before. We just did it on this. We were searching for areas. We would be looking at something and we're like, well, look at this over here. And, you know, that board, I mean, that ollie over the roof, from roof to roof was not actually something we did on a normal basis. I don't know if we actually did it before.
That was the first time, definitely.
But, you know, we always did that. Didn't even think twice.
I mean, that was like, I remember watching Public Domain as a kid and seeing that shot up and watching you guys ollie over from one roof to another. And I was just like, what? Like, who would have the balls to ever do that? Ever? You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to, I don't know, do a handrail or whatever. Not that I could ever do a handrail, but to ollie like from a roof to roof just seemed like that's like, I mean, I don't know how high that roof was or if it was just a, you know, but it was gnarly. I just remember watching that, rewinding it, going, yeah, that's a roof. You know, like, did I see that right?
Yeah, I think Public Domain really kind of showed, you know, where our head was at, because I think of the stuff that we did during that video was stuff that we all really didn't do on a daily basis. I mean, the huge ollies, Brandon and Jake had down to a science, but a lot of the other stuff, I think it was just like, whoa, look at that. You know, that'd be great for the video. You know what I mean? Like we're just going for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If one person did it and made it, well, okay, now it's my turn. You next. I know you are.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, the way that you could really tell that though was because, and I've said this before, but you watch the slam section, and it's like pretty much 60% you guys, like in that video.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Didn't realize that.
we were at that age. We're more balls than brains.
Yeah. So it's cool because there's just definitely like gnarly slams you can see. Like there's one where Frankie, you're like hunched over and like picking up your board, like holding your back or whatever, and you're
yeah. And really, dude, I mean, 5-0 fakey on a high bar off a bank, I mean, in Public Domain.
Oh yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, no, it's gnarly, man.
Yeah, it's super great. Frank, your kickflip, is that over the roof gap or is that just an interestingly framed
No, it was over the roof gap.
That's crazy. What? So you guys ollie it and then you just decide, heck it, I'm gonna kickflip this thing.
I'm gonna do a little kickflip over it. Yeah, man. Just trying to make the video as good as we could, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thought. I don't know if we were really thinking like, whoa, we could really hurt ourselves. I think it was more like we just want this video to be as great as it could possibly be, you know. That's kind of the way it went.
So it was 3 days of shooting, you said? Two or three, maybe?
Yeah, 3 days.
So at the end of each day, are you guys psyched? Or are you like, we got to ramp it up? Or what are the feelings like, say, like after day one? How are you guys feeling about it?
Oh, we're drinking beers in the hotel. No, I'm just kidding. I can't remember that far back on even which hotel we stayed at.
Well, me personally, after the third day, you know, my clothes were pretty much shredded, pretty much. And I was pretty much out of gas. I think we all just, you know, laid it on the line as much as we possibly could. You know, I didn't think we really understood, you know, what it was actually out of us, you know, but.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, so you guys wrap on the video, and it premieres October 21st, 1988. Did you guys go to the premiere?
I don't think I did. I don't remember if I did.
Oh, yeah, you went. You went.
Was yep. there?
Yeah, you yep. were there because there was the after party that was at the Mexican restaurant that we went to afterwards. So, and there's a picture of us in Thrasher magazine with a PAL ad for the video or something. And you and I are standing arm in arm in that picture. So yeah, you went.
Very cool. Any fun stories from that night? What was it like seeing yourself on the big screen? And what was the crowd reaction?
I just want to throw this in there. Was this premiered, I believe, at the Arlington Theater, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it was the other theater.
Something I can't remember where it premiered.
No, it's the one on another one downtown. I can't think of the theater right now, but
okay. So it premiered downtown Santa Barbara at a theater anyways.
Yes, yes.
So what was the crowd reaction to your segment when it came on?
They were freaking out. It was loud. People were screaming for our names and stuff. Definitely.
What, I can't remember it. I don't know what the reaction was or the feelings I felt after the first night of premiere. But one thing is that that movie is a classic to the point where like I can go anywhere almost in the world, or at least United States, and anybody that skated from back in the day knows that video. Like if I bring myself people that you wouldn't even, you know, even aren't friends or you don't even know will like pretend like feel like they know you just because they know what we were doing back at that time in skateboarding. You know, that's just skateboarding is always like it, like I mentioned, all the stages is gone. It's just always keeps advancing and advancing and advancing, you know, and to God, what they're doing now is freaking crazy. I mean, the stuff you can see on video now that they're doing is like, wow, man, you guys are just, you know, I mean, but for us, we were the one, we were, see, for me to think how crazy these guys are now, we were that crazy then. And people know that and remember that. And, you know, that's a great thing to be a part of, you know?
Definitely. So you guys started to get recognized after the video.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, for me, you know, I was just on cloud nine. I was just the little guy in the group with Brandon and Jake. And the reason why I probably can't remember any like really specific stories is because I was just happy to be there with those guys and just in shock that I was on the big screen in a PAL video. I mean, it was like dream come true for sure for me.
So where did everyone kind of go after the video? I know Frank, you were on Powell for a long time. Brandon, did you shortly go to SMA after that?
I think it was about, yeah, maybe a year later, pretty much. Thebo had jumped ship and started skating for Santa Monica Airlines, and Powell wasn't going to turn me pro. So I followed Thebo and went to Santa Monica Airlines. No, that's what happened.
And Jake, you broke your leg, maybe? I read somewhere shortly after the video.
1 week before this happened in 1989, 1 week before, I went to Arizona and skated a mini ramp contest. I actually won that contest over two guys that both went pro after that and put out models, their own name and stuff. And I won that contest in Arizona. I was working at Captain Video at that time, and I was skating to work. And I, this is the point, probably just told me that they were going to turn me pro. They were going to give me a model. This is in the preparation. This is about to happen for you, Jake. And I got hit by a two-seater bicycle on my skateboard on, I forget what street that is, Chapala and
Korea.
I got hit by two seat bicycle, went into a coma for a week, and came out of it, and had to learn how to, you know, walk and do everything again. But as soon as I got out of the rehab hospital, I could barely, I mean, I had nurses holding me on my skateboard, rolling me down the hallway, because everybody knew. I mean, I was given doing autographs and stuff when I was in the hospital bed. And when I came out of that, I went to a mini ramp contest, not a contest, just a party. And I broke my freaking leg, because what was I doing? Wearing Converse All-Stars like Christian Osoy. And fucking, I was wearing those little skimpy shorts or whatever. But I broke my leg that day.
Oh my gosh.
I had a head injury when I got mad. They had to put metal on my head for fluid to stop. And, you know, I mean, I had a head injury and came out of it. And because of that, I was kind of a little crazy. I remember Mikey Taylor took me to the hospital, and they were taking so long. I walked out of that hospital with a broken leg, wimping, just cussing. I ain't getting no help in the end. I sit for all year. Blah, blah, blah. I walked out.
Wow.
That night, my girlfriend looks at me and goes, "Babe, you should go over to the hospital and get that leg. Like, that does not look right. You should go." But that's when I, you know, but I kept actually skating. I was skating the Powell Warehouse. I actually was in the Powell skateboard contest at the Powell Warehouse. Mm-hmm. And my boy was judging. And my run, I had a flawless run. But for some reason, I don't know what I was thinking at that moment, but I figured I wasn't going to make the cut. I didn't fall at all on my run, and I wasn't going to make the cut. And that's a little bit crazy, not too smart, because I left. And I got told next day by Todd Hastings, "Dude, you made the cut. You made 16th because I was the bottom of the cut because I didn't take my next run at the warehouse. And I just, kept going through it. But you know what? Through skateboarding, I broke my head, which I just talked about. I mean, mini ramps, I broke my arm. Mini ramps, I broke my leg. I broke fingers. I broke toes. Skateboarding took a toll on me. And I basically never quit, because I'm still kind of in the aspects, like, I had a head injury when I was 18. My mind never really grew up. I'm still pretty much the same. I still listen to the same music, you know. Suicidal, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I can remember, I was reminiscing, if you guys don't mind, if I sometimes talk too much.
Do it, dude.
I'm thinking about when Frankie Hill talked about Jesse Martinez. And I can remember when I first started seeing Jesse Martinez at contests, La Vista contest. And at that, I had an actual remembrance what actually happened to me at that contest that was in Isla Vista on the Third Street or whatever. My mom's bathing suit store was right there above the liquor store, which is the street that the contest was on. At that contest, I did a fat, I think at that point, I wasn't even doing methods. I was just doing high backside grabs off the little ramps. And I snapped my board right before I was about to go. And Sean Murphy, who died late, Sean Murphy, who was actually the originator of porn star clothing, actually lent me his board right then and there. It was a barfoot board. He lent me his barfoot, and I skated the run, and I think I got third place, but that's just a thing. I could be wrong. I could have got ninth. I don't know. I think I got third, but that's just a thing, you know. But I do remember seeing Jesse Martinez there, and that's when I started seeing the B13 spray painted on the wall, riding wall that him and Nautis were riding at the time at the IV contest. I don't even think anybody was actually even doing that yet, wall stuff yet. We were just flying off the jump ramps and stuff. But, you know, I forget a lot, you know, but there's some things that I won't forget. And some of these skateboarding times and historical moments in my life are never going to be forgotten. And like, I've been reaching out to Frankie Hill, and we've been bonding really good. It's really good to like touch base with Frankie again. Brandon Chapman, I have not seen your freaking face in I don't know how long.
Long, long time, man. I know.
seen your face in a long time, you know. Me, look, man, I never changed.
you guys should all get together and hang out and shoot some photos or something.
Hey, yeah. I would, bro. I moved up north. I met a girl. We had a kid. It was too expensive to live in Santa Barbara. We moved up. I live in Santa Rosa now, okay. And I've been up years. I know Frankie and Bram both know about this because I have a 9-year-old daughter that even when her mom and me split up, I stayed up here to be in my daughter's life because she's the most important thing to me. And two guys right here that are my old homeboys know it's all about daddies and daughters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Moved back to Santa Barbara. And you know what? I just had a vacation time. I can't even afford to vacation in Santa Barbara anymore. So I've been there once. That's when my little brother Jesse got married. I went back for that, but I've not been back to Santa Barbara for 10 years. I'm NorCal. And now I'm just kind of like over living. California is too expensive. And I'm working myself to the bone. My body's breaking down. And I'm about to go to Hawaii. My mom lives in Hawaii. And she can set me up over there. Maybe, but, you know, I left California, but I've been here all my life. And although I would like to go back to Santa Barbara, get my last little taste of California before I leave it to go to Hawaii.
I'm demanding you guys, before you go to Hawaii, you guys got to get together for 5 minutes at least.
Yeah.
I'm in November, so I might be sleeping in the Ledbetter parking lot, but I'm coming back to SB for one last little glimpse of State Street before, you know, I move out of California.
All right. I'll bring my, my Ollie ramp and my garbage can.
There you go. And Frankie, you have some exclusive news that you and Jake are teaming up for something real fun soon.
Yeah. I have this little company called Hill Skateboards, and we're going to come out with a Jake board. And
that's awesome.
I couldn't be happier to get that done. So
that's super cool. When can we expect to see that?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty quick, probably in the next 2 months or so. It should be out. And, you know, we're considering doing one with Brandon too, you know, so it's, our time together was absolutely priceless. And, you know, this is going to mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys always came across as like three dudes that genuinely knew each other. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you can tell when it's like, here's some dudes that are kind of put together and they're, I don't know, but you guys had a camaraderie in that video that it was undeniable. And also you guys came across like such, I don't know, like just badasses. Like it was almost intimidating. Like the music in that video and your part was so sick. And then like, you guys were just skating so hard. And it's like, yeah, I don't know, man, as a kid, it was like, these dudes are not fucking around. Like these aren't, this isn't a freestyle section or something like that. This is the real deal.
Yeah. It's really impactful part. I feel like if something that comes out like that heavy, like these days, like they just turn them pro. So it seemed weird that you guys weren't turned pro like the next year or whatever.
Coming on, but just a weird freak accident, you know, my luck, you know, just sent me in a different direction and made me not be able to go in the spot. You know, there's a lot of mistakes I've made and there's a lot of bad, you know, life during the accidents and surgeries and all kinds of crazy shit that I've been through already in life. And at this point, I'm one of those accident prone people still, and basically still going to keep going on with, you know, trying to ride it smoothly and imperfect and my imperfect life. Mm-hmm. And what I come to realize is that any obstacle that I've been through in life, I basically ollie it, and I can't ollie it the same way that I ollied the last thing. I got to change the style. I got to change my stance. I got to change my grab. You know, I got to change and do it in a different way. At this point of us being at the age that we're at now, it's obviously that I'm doing a pretty good job on ollieing any obstacle that comes into my life. And I'm hoping these two guys right here are, you know, doing the same too. You know, I hope your guys' life is running smooth. You know, life's hard, but you know, you deal with it and keep going on and on and the beat goes on.
Yeah, Frankie, a few years ago when you kind of came back, it seems like you started kind of posting clips again and stuff like that after a while, you know, I would say of kind of a little bit of dormancy, but it was so cool to see. It's like all of a sudden there's like Frankie Hill blasting over a trash can again or whatever. And you're like, yes, you know?
Yeah. I just, you know, I want to stick around, dude. I want to, you know, I want to keep it going. And then, you know, being able to, you know, talk about things that we did like this in our moments, you know, that won't be lost because, you know, thankfully that we're doing the interviews and keeping our, what we did alive, because it was great. And I'm, you know what I mean? So if it takes the rest of my knee, go for it.
And for me, I think Frankie is a mastermind and is brilliant on what he's doing, what he's done and what he's doing. That's why I tried to tap into him and see if I can maybe try and become young again, because Frankie is not an ex-pro skateboarder. He is still to this day a present pro skateboarder. And I think that's freaking awesome. And it's just a wonderful idea on what he's doing and what he's done. And I'm going to try and jump on his coattails and see if, you know, I can come up there too and keep going, because, you know, might be old, but my mind is always going to be young. I still listen to do, you know, maybe not do stupid things that you do when you're young, but, you know, still, I'm going to always be young no matter what happens to me.
Yeah, I think there's like a, you know, I think there's a huge market out there for you guys. You know what I mean? For your, I mean, you know, there's so many people out there like that are in their mid, you know, in their 40s and they grew up watching Public Domain, and they're, you know, like whether or not like relevance in 2023, you know, it's harder to be relevant in 2023 now because there are so many fish in the pond. But dude, there's a million people out there that would love to hear from Jake Bradley and hear from Brandon Chapman and see more Frankie Hill and stuff like that. Cause dude, you know, you guys managed to stand out in a video, like you said, that's like a pivotal, important. I mean, I would put it in the top probably five most important skate videos ever. Wouldn't you, Larry? I mean,
yeah,
I don't think
that's a big one.
There's no denying it. You guys managed to stand out in a video that has tons of standouts. You know what I mean? That video is completely packed with legendary parts, and you guys maintain to this day like one of the more gnarly, memorable parts in that video.
Well, for locals, people watching them go, "Whoa, I've been there before," you know. But I never thought about skateboarding. I mean, skateboarding in general, another thing that I brought to bear with all the broken bones that I suffered from skateboarding. You know, I got arrested, literally arrested for skating 3 times in a row. And I think I was with you guys one time at Washington. We had a ramp going up to a wall, and we were wall riding, marking up the whole wall. And they were all because of, board sliding stuff that, you know, in front of is. But arrested 3 times. I think you were with me one time, Brandon, were you not?
Yeah, I think. I vaguely remember that.
I think it was at Washington School. Oh, that was just one of them. I mean, I actually got thrown out of jail cell one time for skating, street skating downtown Santa Barbara.
Hooligans.
It's the skate or die mentality, you know?
Yeah, it was good times.
All right, so to kind of wrap it up here, looking back 35 years after Public Domain, any final thoughts on that video or what it meant to you?
Maybe it meant that I still skateboard to this day. Maybe that kept me skating still, and, you know, realizing that, you know, we were ahead of our time at that time to never even want to quit. Maybe that means that we're on a different bracket, you know, of people in life on this sport. You know, I know a lot of people, the 50-year-olds that are still skating is awesome and crazy. And, you know, I mean, you're going to do it now and cry about it later, you know?
Yeah, I'm just very grateful to have been part of it. And it's just awesome. I meet people, you know, all the time. And I usually don't bring up skateboarding until they start talking about it. And then they mention that video. And I go, "Oh, that's funny. I'm in that video." And then they flip out like, "Oh, my gosh, you're Brandon Chapman?" I'm like, "Yes, I'm the Brandon Chapman." Here I am.
That's awesome.
Just very, very grateful. It was a wonderful time.
So get happy about my other Public Domain is one of them, but my other is I got a contents page. Brandon, you got the cover. I got the contents page, though, in Thrasher magazine of Skin and Mini Ramp. Scott Starr took that picture that I got into Thrasher magazine with. Because to this day, I see a kid walking by with a Thrasher shirt and go, oh, cool shirt. I was in Thrasher, you know? It was Scott Starr that put me in Thrasher. And I got lucky. When I thought it was Scott Starr too. I got a full picture in Trans World Skateboarding as well. And it was actually Jim Knight. Jim Knight is the one that filmed me. He filmed me in Propaganda, and he took my picture that I got into Trans World Skateboarding also.
Nice.
So up to the late Scott Starr and Jim Fitzpatrick.
No, Jim Knight.
And I just want to say that, you know, of course, it was my first video, and to be able to go in there with Brandon and Jake, it's absolutely priceless. And I'll always hold that dear to my heart.
Awesome. That's perfect. Perfect way to end it. I thank you guys so much for joining us today. I'm glad we could kind of reunite you guys and talk about public domain a little bit. So thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
What an honor. Thank you guys so much. Honestly.
I appreciate it. SB Boys for life.
Yeah.
All right. There they go. The SB Boys, Frankie, Brandon, and Jake. Amazing. That was wild, right?
I mean, dude, like, think about that. We just got those dudes back together for the first time in like 30 some odd years.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Heavy duty, man.
Yeah. Big time. And they just disappeared back into the Bones Brigade audio show green room.
There they are. Yeah. There's lots of, I mean, it's nice in there, man. We got sodas.
Yeah, the catering is excellent. The
catering, dude, the catering is so good in there, man.
Yeah.
Skittles. I mean,
Red Vines.
Dude, Red Vines, Swedish Fish.
Yeah, all the goodness. But man, thank you to those guys for joining us. And that was way too cool.
What an honor. Seriously, man. What an honor that was. Yeah. It really was. Frankie Hill, man, that dude means the world to me in terms of like my, you know, early years of skateboarding and everything, dude.
Yeah.
Like he was such a heavy duty influence and stuff. And to be on a call with him, talking to him and talking to Jake Bradley and talking to Brandon Chapman. It's a trip. It's incredible. It's mind blowing, man. I mean, it's like 30, however many episodes into the show, and I'm still having my mind blown by the fact that we get to talk to these people.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's an honor, like you said. Yeah, it was great.
It really is. Yeah, it really is, man. It really is. And what a bunch of cool guys, you know?
Yeah, I hope they can get together before Jake goes to Hawaii. That would be most excellent.
Yeah, definitely, man. Wow. Tripping still. Crazy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
All right, but moving on.
And now, the Bones Brigade Audio Show Mailbag.
All right, we got some feedback from the Skate TV episode that we
wrote a few weeks back. People really enjoyed that one, I think.
Yeah.
Took them by surprise a little bit, too.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Skate TV is one of those things that a lot more people watched en masse than some of the videos. You know what I mean? Some of the videos are very segmented as to who they reached.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Skate TV was something that a lot of kids had Nickelodeon. You know,
yep.
Or they had friends who had it and they'd tape it like you. They were weirdos like Larry. They'd tape everything. So Mark L. took some time to write us and he said, I'm really stoked on the Skate TV Files series.
Nice.
First episode with Mark was so good. It's obvious now, especially after Mark's explanation. But at the time, I wondered why they had Matt co-host when he seemed like he didn't know anything about skating. It felt so cringy watching Matt ask Ray Barbie, quote, I remember reading an article on you in Thrasher, yeah? And Ray being a good sport responding, yeah, I guess there was one in it.
I actually remember that, yeah.
Yeah. So thanks, Mark. Yeah, you know, dude, like Matt, I'm going to say it. Matt did a good job. And actually he found his footing in that show pretty quick, you know?
Yeah,
which speaks to the fact that he's a good actor and he's able to.
He's a professional. Yeah,
he's a professional. He can adapt. So he did a good job.
Yeah, I think they wanted, you know, kind of like an MTV VJ type guy, young and hip, and
yeah,
yeah,
because you know, Tate was an admittedly an odd choice to host a show like that. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
he ruled and he did a great job, but I can see why they might be like, yeah, well, we need something to balance out whatever's going on over here with this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Something to bring it down a little more relatable. Into relatable territory for the kids. So anyway,
yeah.
So Vern W writes in and he says, guys, the History of Skate TV episode was amazing. After listening and hearing when they made it, it's crazy to think Stacy, Stesic, and crew made a 13 episode television show in between production of Ban This and Propaganda. Truly talented people. Thank you, Mark Hunt, for making it all happen.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they crammed in a whole series of television between Ban This and Propaganda. That's crazy.
I'm still blown away by the fact that they filmed it the way that they filmed it, where they, like he was saying, they just kind of did everything in like a few days at the Pink Motel.
Yeah, like today we're doing all 13 intros right now. Boom.
Yeah, we're doing all 13 pool segments and everybody's staying at the hotel or driving out for that day or two to film those. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Today we're going to do all the mini ramp segments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How nuts, dude. Who would have ever thought? So, yeah, whatever, man. It's Powell magic, right?
It is. It is.
Powell magic.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. And then we have Steve P. And he writes, Mark Hunt was an incredible guest. Skate TV is a cult classic. There's not a lot of information or history out there about the show. Super psyched you guys are covering the show. And I can't wait for the rest of the Skate TV Files episodes. Long live Skate Master Tate, indeed.
Indeed, long live Skate Master Tate.
You know, I am bummed that I never got to meet the Tate, and I'm glad to know that you had a relationship with him, and he was so cool in real life. He's as cool as you would expect him to be. Not that I had any doubt.
He was awesome. But... yeah, I have a feeling too. He would probably be a regular on the show.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt about it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be all about it. So anyway, that we're going to call that the mailbag for this week. Thank you all for writing in.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Skate TV, man. It's the best.
Yeah, it's great. And then we'll have another, I think we'll slip another Skate TV episode. We'll do an episode on the pilot episode / episode one.
And, yeah, we got 12, at least 12 coming your way.
Yeah, at least. Right? Yeah, for sure.
13. Because we haven't even done an actual episode yet. Yeah. Oh, so, well, all right. There we go.
All right. If you'd like to be like these awesome folks that sent us an email to read on the show, we would love for you to do that. The easiest way to do that is to go to our website, which is thebonesbrigadeaudioshow.com. You can click on the contact page. There's an easy form to just type in your message, you hit enter, and we will receive it instantly. And Instagram direct messages work just as well. So,
and you know what? Let's not forget the feature in our website that allows listeners to send us like voicemail.
Yes, messages. That's right. We haven't plugged that.
We kind of forgot about that. Yeah. That kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah, we've had, what, two or three of those?
We've had a few of them.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's been a minute. Let's talk about that real quick. What do you do?
So, you don't have to type. You can just click a button. It's on our contact page. There's like a little microphone button. You click on that, and it kind of records us a voicemail, and it's zapped to our computers. And then we can play your message on the show. Yeah, Matt doesn't have to read it. We can just play it, and you can hear it. Yeah.
Boom. Do it.
It's easy.
Yeah, we need more of that.
Yeah, we do. It's been a while.
We need more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an audio show, so let's get some audio. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Another thing I wanted to talk about was our YouTube channel.
Okay.
Let's talk about that real quick. We're going to be there's some stuff on there that you've probably gone and seen, but if you haven't gone to our YouTube channel, go and then hit that like button.
Hit that subscribe button.
Elbow drop that subscribe button.
I'm trying to think how many videos. What do we got? Like five, six, seven, eight videos
like
on
that.
There? Yeah.
There's some good stuff. We're going to be putting
rare,
some stuff up there.
Rare stuff. So speaking of Skate TV, I think we have the pilot episode, which was never before lost online ever.
Yeah.
We've resurrected that. And we've got that online. So if you haven't seen that, there's another chap that has the other 12 episodes, but we've got the missing episode.
Yes. So good stuff. Go check that out.
Check that out. Seriously, I think we're going to try to do a live episode on YouTube in October.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure out the
logistics. Back end.
Yeah. The logistics of doing that. So we'll see. We'll have a definitive answer soon. Yeah.
It's a lofty goal at this point, but hey,
we're always trying to up the ante around here.
Exactly. Yeah. And then one more thing, let's talk about this real quick. We have if you've been listening to this show, and if you've invested God only knows how many hours of your life listening to us talk and bring in these amazing guests and chit chat, hunt down these esoteric people for you to listen to and talk to and hear from and wax intellectual with, you know what you can do if you feel like it. And we're not asking, we don't need it, but if you feel like throwing us a little bit of, a little bit of love,
some cash,
we do have a buy us a coffee. It's sort of like a Patreon kind of thing, right? Is that what you consider?
Yeah, the link will be in the description of this episode, the show notes or whatever they call it down below.
Yeah. And, you know, all that stuff, it's not for me and Larry to, you know, go put in a Scrooge McDuck style vat and jump into. It's going to go toward,
our web hosting.
Stuff
for
web hosting, just stuff to keep the show kind of going.
The Zoom. Zoom has a monthly fee that we have to pay. Yeah.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. So if you're so inclined, please do. And if you're not, don't worry about it. It's all good. The show will go on. You know, if you feel like, you know, you've gotten a lot out of this show and you want to just show us a little love, that's cool. And if you don't, we still love you and we'll still keep making content for you.
Totally. So,
and honestly, dude, I love coffee. I drink it every day. So you can buy me a coffee.
Want to hear something wild?
Yeah.
I have never drank coffee in my life. Not even a drop.
That is fucking insane. Dude, literally, I don't do the literal first thing I do every day.
Really?
After stepping out of bed is walk into the kitchen and pour a cup of coffee from a carafe that is hot, brewed, and
oh, you set the timer?
Yeah. Yes. That's insane.
Not even a drop.
I can't even fathom that. Now, is that related to kind of like the straight edge thing? Or is that more because is caffeine kind of on that? Okay. Is it just
I do enjoy ice cold Coca-Cola. So that has,
okay. So caffeine is a part of it. All right.
But my parents didn't drink coffee. Wow. It was never in the house. So I was just like, and then I kind of a little later, I kind of related that as like an adult drink.
Uh-huh.
Not that you needed to be 21, but like, oh, that's just for old people. You know, it's like,
you're not wrong about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've just never gone there.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine. I that's insane, dude. That's crazy, man. I don't even know what to say right now. I'm floored. Everybody listening is floored.
Oh, I could nail you with some all kinds of wild stuff that I have never done in my life.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, somebody needs to get out there and buy Larry a coffee. Maybe it'll be me.
No coffee.
You're not doing
No,
it?
Not
no coffee?
No.
You won't even take a sip?
No, I don't need it. No,
dude.
I don't need it.
Okay.
Buy me a Coke.
I'll buy you a Coke.
All right.
Let's go get Cokes. Anything
Definitely.
Else will make me choke.
Exactly. 7-Eleven Cokes
are the best.
Are the best.
I won't settle for anything less.
All right. We're getting silly. We should probably shut this down.
Let's shut it down?
Okay.
Let's do it. Thanks again, Frankie. Thanks again, Brandon.
Oh, yeah,
thanks
dude.
Again, Jake.
Thank you
Holy
so much.
Shit.
Yeah.
Incredible.
35 years of public domain this year.
Crazy.
Makes you feel old.
Yeah. But you know what? Go watch that part. And it's as
still as great as ever. Yeah.
Crazy good today as it ever has been.
That's right.
As is the whole video.
That's true.
So
that's true.
All right.
We'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, I'm Larry.
I'm Matt.
Reminding you to never stop searching for chin. Have a great night.